everyone. You have entered the battle phase. It is I, the Midnight Bard, your favorite bard. And I highly recommend ice baths to deal with those aches and pains. Joining me, as always, is the boys. Starting from the top, we have Helix, who recommends the number 3 at Whataburger.
I think that's the triple meat, right? If it is, then yes, I agree.
Yeah. Followed by Brother Gamma, who recommends going outside and getting some exercise on the daily.
Absolutely. On this 100-degree weather, go for it.
And lastly, we have Sacro, who recommends that fools stay in their lane.
And out of my state, please. Thank you very much.
If you can't tell by our intro here, today we're talking about recommendations. Apparently, it's just difficult to catch up with Darker Than Black. I am 6 episodes away from fully finishing season 1.
It's only 24 episodes, though.
The thing is, I'm watching them on my PC, though, right? But, like, the thing is, like, because I'm in school a lot of the time, I don't actually get to be on my PC proper half the time. So a lot of the times I'm on my laptop, and my laptop, like, I do not have, like, the link to it. So I'm just like, oh, well.
So what I did.
100%. I haven't even started it yet.
What? Okay.
I'll be honest.
Anywho, so we're doing another, like, episode where we're just, like, you know, doing a thing, a challenge, if you will. Until we can all get caught up with Darker Than Black, because, you know, I cannot wait to see Sacro's presentation on that. But that being said, the challenge for today was talk about an anime that you would recommend and try to sell us on it. I do believe that I have a PowerPoint presentation for it. I don't know if any of you guys had a power presentation for it.
I have one as well.
Okay, Sacro has.
I don't.
Helix
has
not.
I have a video.
Gamma has a video. Okay, sweet. So that's basically how it's going to go. One last housekeeping matter, and I may edit this out, I may not, but I do go back and listen to our episodes because I like to see how I can, you know, improve the next time. And it's not because I'm in love with both mine and all of your lovely voices, but I wanted to amend a couple of things that were said on the last episode where we were talking about the title that started it all. I actually gave some heavy thought as to who my favorite rival was, which was Gamma's question to me. And I actually came to the conclusion that my favorite rival is Nimona. Oh. And the reason why is because she has... Yeah, Nimona from Scarlet and Violet.
Oh,
okay. I didn't get that far.
And the reason why is because, contrary to most other rivals, Nimona actually has a very interesting story in that she was gifted as a Pokemon trainer for pretty much her entire life. And there has been no one in the Paldea region who could challenge her. She got to, like, champion rank, and she just, that's it. You know, she is the top that there is. So whenever your character shows up and she recognizes talent in you, she basically becomes your biggest fan because she knows that sooner or later you will be the one who can present a challenge to her. You will be the first person who can stand on her level. And in my opinion, I'm like, this is so relatable. And as a matter of fact, Helix, Nell, when I was talking to Nell, she was telling me about their new collection of Pokemon cards. And they're like, oh, and I was like, oh, yeah, I have, like, a Nimona card. And Nell was like, Nimona is you. Like, you are Nimona. Like, I can see it. And I was like, I can't not see it too. It
they started playing Violet while Power was out because there was nothing else to do.
Right.
I think they got through most of the game. They were pretty far into it.
And one of the coolest things too is that Nimona has a penchant for saying silly things too. Like, so for example, when she's like, "Hey, you want to see my dorm?" And then you go to her dorm and she's all like, "Welcome to the Zona Nimona." And I'm like, God damn it.
That's you.
Yeah, that's definitely, that's entirely fair.
I was like, oh my God, Nimona. Anyway, so she is my favorite rival is Nimona. Next up, let's see, other things that I needed to say is we have a Twitter now. If you go to Twitter, you can follow us at the battle phase. I refuse.
It's X.
It's what's X?
It's X. It's not Twitter no more. It's X.
Go to X and X is a question.
If I type Twitter into the search bar, what pops up?
It's
wild.
It's pretty wild. So, you know, just a couple of housekeeping matters. But that being said, we're going to move into our recommendations. These are anime that we would recommend to friends.
I have a question for you, Barb, before you start.
Sure.
Are we going to rate whether we'd want to watch it based on the person's recommendation near the end?
At the end, yes.
All right.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, I just thought about it while we were talking about you rating it yourself, what you give it to us.
Yeah. All right, sweet. So I'm starting my clock now. Alrighty, gentlemen, welcome to the 90s. This is a time of big sneakers, tight jeans, backwards caps, fanny packs, roller skates, etc., etc., etc. Walkman radios, it's a wonderful time. It was a great time to be alive, the 90s. Huge revolution in anime, you know, like a lot of really good anime was being made around this time. Some classics were being made around this time. And with that being said, today, we're talking about one of those classics. We're talking about Golden Boy.
Boy.
Anyone seen Golden Boy?
I have. I didn't expect you to bring up Golden Boy. That's interesting.
I don't think I've seen Golden Boy.
All right. So we're talking about Golden Boy. So the plot and the protag. Okay, so Golden Boy is the story of Kintaro Oe, who is an idiot savant. He is a dropout out of Tokyo University, but he didn't drop out because he was doing well. As a matter of fact, he completed all of the coursework for becoming a lawyer, but he dropped out. And now he travels Japan on his trusty mountain bike, doing odd jobs wherever he stops. So, you know, just the weirdest jobs that you can imagine. Like episode one, he was working as a janitor in a software development firm. Episode two, he was like, I don't know, like in a campaign for like a politician, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, so like literally anything you can think of, Kintaro will do it. And he will approach everything with the intent to study the hell out of it. And so when I say he's an idiot savant, that's where a lot of comedy comes from, because there will be just things happening in the episode that look like they would go terrible for literally anyone else. But he's so foolish and so dumb and like so unassuming that people always underestimate him. But it turns out that he's actually fucking brilliant. So it's actually kind of like really funny to watch everyone underestimate him. And then in the end, he comes up with a resolution to the problem without even trying. It's like the most obvious solution. And everyone's like, oh, well, wow. So 6-episode OVA, which adapts parts of the 10-volume manga by Tatsuya Egawa. It's episodic, but the last episode brings together everyone that you met across the anime. So it's kind of a fun thing.
Real quick, each episode's kind of like by itself, but the last episode ties all of them together?
Yes.
Okay.
The basic episode structure, Kintaro, the wandering student, finds himself in a new job in a new town. He encounters a situation that creates comedic hijinks and basically paints Kintaro as a fool that is in over his head. And in the end, Kintaro will somehow take everyone by surprise as he takes the knowledge he's been passively absorbing during his time there to resolve the problem of the week. Let's see. The best of Golden Boy. Golden Boy is a snapshot of 90s era Japan, with the artwork being highly detailed in terms of backgrounds and especially around technology and mechanics. The cars, bicycles, computers look really good in Golden Boy. It's so weird. Let's see. It's also a snapshot of 90s era fashion. Additionally, the anime is firing on all cylinders with animation, with some sequences that are so fluid that it's like it's something you don't see anymore, and it's really, really fun. You guys should watch the swimming scene. It's great. But continuing...
I think I've seen that one. That's the one whenever he's sitting there swimming across the pool, and he's like, how'd I do?
Yes, exactly. Yes, that is the one. But the very best of Golden Boy, the baddies. Oh, my God. I am obsessed with the way that this anime draws women, dog. The Golden Boy is largely an ecchi comedy, typical of the 90s. There's panty shots, dressing and undressing scenes, down bad fantasy scenes where our protag imagines what life would be like if he got the girl, and even some full nudity. Typical of any anime perv, Kintaro gets the hell beaten out of him by the baddies on an episodic basis. Let's see. So allow me to gush some more about how this anime draws women, dude. Like, it is just like, this is a lost art. And I'm just like, I am here for it. Not to say that I am thirsty, but if I was in the desert, this would be an oasis. I mean, woof, woof. That's the last slide and 18 seconds on the clock. Any questions?
Best girl.
Oh, gosh. Best girl, motorcycle girl.
Which one's motorcycle girl?
I don't even know her name. The top left corner right here.
Top left. Okay.
Yeah.
Didn't they,
brunette, brown eyes. Got it.
Didn't they spoof Akira? What's that one? Whenever like...
yes, but honestly, is there any anime that does not spoof Akira?
That's fair. That's definitely fair.
Or Dragon Ball.
Or Dragon Ball, like the Yamcha death. But I think this actually predates that. No, it probably predates it in the anime. It doesn't predate it in the manga, though. So,
Let me ask you this. How does it age? It's 30 years old. So you got to admit, sometimes there are some things that don't age very well.
There, you know, here's the weird thing. Despite the fact that it is kind of like a cringy, like etchy thing, it's not so bad. Like, you know, like you could literally sit down and watch. I wouldn't say watch it with your parents, but you could watch it with most people and reasonably, like, it would be like, that's not terrible. You know, like there's one or two things, like, for example, our main character seems to have a fetish for toilet seats.
I mean, who doesn't?
So if he finds a toilet that one of these baddies has sat on, I mean, he will get fucking weird with it. You know what I mean? Like, he will get weird. But like, other than that, like, for the most part, it's surprisingly wholesome. So yeah, I would say it ages really well. Like I said, a snapshot of the 90s. Like, if you ever wanted to watch something to show somebody what the 90s were like, put this on. I mean, like, it will answer every question.
When Gen Z asks, how was the 90s, granddad?
The baddies, like, the beaches were fine and the baddies were finer.
The beaches were not fine in the 90s. They were super polluted.
The beaches were not fine, but the baddies were.
We didn't go to the beaches for the beaches. We went for the baddies.
That's true. We went for the baddies. Well, I guess if there is no other questions on Golden Boy, I will stop my stream. And Gamma, if you wanna
now
take off.
Now I'm gonna share my screen.
So 5 minutes on the clock. Go ahead, Gamma.
Welcome to Sell Me That Manga / Anime with your salesman. Katabi.
I love this.
It has been sold to one person already. Don't ask who. The structure. Yeah. That manga and the anime has the most detailed structure that you could see all around, down to the most minute pebble. And that's one of the best selling points for me. You cannot be going around showing me a world where the characters are hyper detailed and the background is just pure garbage.
I can agree with that.
Yeah, same.
I like garbage.
And this type of structures are something that you'll be seeing all throughout, whether it's this type of structure or something more intense. Moving on. The teamwork.
Okay, so this looks kind of like it's like a sports anime?
No, it's not a sports anime.
What's the name?
You'll get the name at the end.
Okay.
Okay.
Hey, it's not fair. You guys got your 5 minutes without questions.
Okay, carry on.
All right, so the teamwork is superb. Everybody just works together, and the synergy between people, if there's none at the beginning, over time, it gets better. You can see real weapons, and then later on, you might see some sci-fi. Now, moving on to the next one. The monsters.
Okay.
And that's another sale point right here. Each monster is unique. Mm-hmm. Even the generic ones, they tend to be the type of monsters that you don't see on other anime or manga. Like this one, for example. It's a four-armed beast, which our protagonists tend to have a problem with. Whether they beat him or not, you need to watch the anime to decide. Next one, curses. There's curses in there. They will go like this. I curse your dog. I curse your mom. I curse your ancestors and your whole bloodline. And it will just go on and on and on. And you do not know when it's going to stop. And the detail is uncanny. as you can see with the character over here.
So far, I'm pretty sold.
Now we're going on to another one. The bonding. There's bonding between the people in here. And you got to appreciate that because it gives you... They bond between each other in ways that you don't expect. But that bond makes them stronger, especially our protagonist. As you can see, in this scenario, this happened just a couple seconds after the protagonist got this person's number. They told them that their fly is open.
I appreciate it when people tell me that.
Yeah.
Hey, at least somebody tells you instead of just walking to a whole room. Going on. They're bonding with family.
Oh, God, I hope that this doesn't go in the way that I think it's going.
That's Camilla from Fire Emblem.
Yeah, a little bit.
You see, in the middle is our protagonist. Mm-hmm. And to the left is the grandma of the protagonist's partner.
That's a grandma?
And to the right is the mother of the protagonist's partner.
So not the protagonist proper. It's his partner, like, in fighting monsters, I guess.
Yeah, it's his partner's mother to the right and his partner's grandmother to the left. You might see her having a youthful look, but in reality, she's over 90 years old. Due to her ability, she's able to retain her youthful looks.
Yeah, you know, as anime does.
As anime does, yep.
You either look like a decrepit old lady or you look like a youthful old lady.
It's like Genkai from Yu Yu Hakusho or like Momo's mom from Dandadan.
Exactly.
Right. Her grandma. Grandma. Mom. Yeah. Yeah.
Moving on. I present to you Mato Sehei no Slave.
Yeah. Chain Soldier.
Also known as Chain Soldier in translation, which I reject.
Yeah, well, I mean, like the American audiences wouldn't have been happy about like having the slave in the title.
Nah, they'll get used to it.
Yeah. Anyway, carry on.
And that's it.
That's it. Well, you told us nothing about like the plot or anything.
Well, the plot is this anime, so you want to tease and you didn't want to be the whole like, hey.
Okay.
I'm trying to sell it to you.
You're just trying to sell it.
Is this a manga?
No,
only?
It's got an anime adaptation recently.
Yep.
And the anime adaptation did not back away from like, you know, showing everything that was shown in the manga. Sakura, you had high expectations of Gamma. No.
Like, the silence.
It was also edgy. Yes. So, Chain Soldier is, and you know, without giving too much of the plot away, but it's a world where women can get superpowers, but men cannot. And in one instance, the main protagonist, who is a man, caught himself in a place that he was surrounded by these monsters. And he meets a girl who is part of the defense force against these monsters, and her power is... She will make him her slave, and in exchange, he will gain immense powers. He transforms into kind of this monster. The thing is, her power...
Oh, you explained this to us a while back.
Yeah, I think you mentioned Chain Soldier before.
Yeah, he has. Yeah, he's told us this, because I remember hearing this
right.
story.
The power her power comes with a drawback, though, in that she has to give equal reward equal to the amount of effort put in. And the reward is dependent on what her slave is. And because
what her slave wants.
Or what her slave wants. And what he wants is... So there is a lot of bumping and grinding. There hasn't been any sex yet. And I'm on like volume 10 of the manga or something.
So you've watched it for sure then.
I've read it. Like I haven't watched the anime. Yeah, so, but yeah. So I'm like on volume 10 of the manga. There's a lot of bumping. There's a lot of grinding. There is a lot of nudity.
Yep, and the freakiest of them all is the family.
And the freakiest of them all is the family, yes. that said, it's not straight up ecchi. It's actually got like a pretty compelling plot. So, you know, you take the good with the bad. What can I say?
That's a line I've heard every person who watches a ton of ecchi say, so take that as you will, audience. I watch High School DxD for the plot.
Do we have any questions for Gamma?
What's the main character's name?
Oh, All right.
Oh, Lord. No, what's funny is that because I've read it too, and when he asked it, I was like, I don't know what his name is.
It's all about the plot.
The plot's so good, guys.
I watched it for the plot.
Yeah, the plot. Yeah, I watched
it. His name is Yuki Wakura. I was like, his name is Yuki? I struggle. I was like, I know his ask me what the girl's name is. Kyoka, Shushu, Nei, and the Himari. And I was like, I know the girls. I had no idea what the guy's name was.
This is kind of what I expected, to be honest.
Like that was the perfect question to ask.
I'm here to keep you guys on the straight and narrow, just so y'all know.
Catch you on your toes.
As the only non-Texan here, I gotta shoot with both hands, you know?
Oh gosh, Sacred was like, what is happening in Texas? Are you guys going through a drought?
It's 100 degrees.
It is 100 degrees over here, bro. I got you.
Well, your place is burning, though, so I mean,
it's on fire.
It's expected that it's a little hotter than normal.
Yeah, we had a hurricane to cool us off.
Yeah. Lucky. I've escaped the flames of hell to tell you about this cool anime.
He needs to cool down is what it is. Did we have any other questions for Gamma? Any other points? Sacro, do you want to expose us anymore?
How old is the girl that is the love interest that makes him a slave?
The commander tends to be is the oldest, as well as the girl's mother, as I mentioned. Yeah.
The commander, the one that everyone says is best girl, whose name escapes me, the most popular one. They ran a popularity poll, and they said who's the most popular, and it was this one. It's not what's her name, Tenka? Is that it?
Tenka? It cannot be her. No.
Yeah, she was the most popular. How is she the worst? Like, granted, where I'm at in the manga, she seems nice. I mean,
you have not seen her treating him like an actual dog. Nope. Nope, I refuse. Nope. I'd rather have the one that worships his master than her.
I think you've offended Gamma, Bard.
Clearly,
personally,
with facts and logic.
My favorite, like who I think is best girl, is Shushu. I think she is. She's kind of weird, but you know, like the thing is, it's very endearing. Also, I think her power is kind of cool. She can. Yeah, she's got like gigantification powers, like Mount Lady from My Hero Academia. Yeah.
That's definitely a power for an ecchi show.
Yeah, she's pretty good. I like the one that actually loves him.
She is the one that loves him.
No. The teleport girl loves him.
That is
Tenka. She's another captain.
Yeah, that is Tenka. Tenka is the captain. This is the one that I was talking about that won the popularity poll.
Okay. The one that came to my mind was the highest up.
No. I haven't gotten there yet. Like, but yeah, no, this is the one that won the popularity poll, the teleportation girl.
Okay.
Yeah.
Stamp of approval for her.
Okay, great.
Why didn't we see a picture of this girl in the slideshow? Hello? Where were all of the this show's ecchi and I saw nothing?
I know, right?
We got cheated.
We got gypped.
With that said, any more questions for Gamma?
Yeah, I'm good.
I don't think we need to expose them anymore.
Alrighty. So, Sacro, you're up.
Alright.
PowerPoint.
White screen.
Yeah.
Okay, starting the 5 minutes now. Go.
Alright, so I picked an anime that no one's seen as far as I've known, or as far as I know. It's called Oshinoko. Wow.
Oh, transitions and everything.
Yeah, I used to work at a PowerPoint place.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Oshinoko. It's a great show. So it's got great characters. It's got really cool designs. Animation's really sweet. The story is not what you think it's going to be at all. It talks a lot about the entertainment industry. It relates directly to what Bard and I do, kind of, in a lot of ways. I'll talk about it later.
Content creation.
You probably know it, but it takes place in the great and magical world of Japan. This is the GIF that went viral on Twitter when the show came out. I'm sure you've seen this GIF.
I've seen that clip.
Yeah. So if you've never seen the show, you've seen the clip.
Yeah.
So this is an idol anime. Kind of. There are idols in it. The show's main focus is not on the idols 100% of the time. It also focuses on other parts of the industry, including streaming.
Yeah.
The main theme song is also amazing. I would show it, but it's copyright, so.
Yeah, it's Idol by Yoasobi. And the first part of that theme song, just to interject here, I'm going to pause your time because I have to say this. It looks to me like it was animated using like the same kind of motion tracking that you would use for a VTuber. Like, this is just me. I've seen so many VTubers that now it's kind of hard for me to not see it, you know? So like,
I think it looks better than VTuber.
It looks much better, but like it does look like they use motion tracking for it. And maybe I'm wrong, you know, like hey, visit us at the Battle Phase on X and tell me if I'm wrong. But that said, I'm resuming your time. Go ahead.
Okay. So if you've seen this show, you've seen this GIF. If you don't know this GIF, you might know the viral dance that came from this guy in the middle. His name is Peon. He's a content creator. He does dance workout videos. He has a really high-pitched voice, and he's ripped. For part of the show, they were trying to rebuild their idol organization, and I'll get to the characters later. But those are the two characters on the left and right. They were going to be in a viral video with him, and they had to dance for a whole hour with him, which leads to burnout. they didn't die, but they were close to dying. This dance went viral. The people were making actual videos of it. There's a guy, a Japanese guy, who's ripped, and he's wearing the Peon mask. Great stuff.
I think I've seen that.
It's really... Yeah, it was all over YouTube for a little while. Getting to the actual parts of the show, I guess. So the first episode is an hour and a half. It's really long. I cannot tell you what happens in it because you have to watch it. Everything happens in that episode. It's so good. It picks up. It's slow at first, and then it's fast, and then it goes on, and then it feels like you're popping six Adderall, and you're praying to meet God. You know? You're like, you're going up. You're ascending with the ending of this episode. And if you didn't get hooked by this first episode, which has some all sorts of stuff happening, then the show is not for you. So watch the first episode, love it, hate it, whatever.
I think I've seen spoilers for the first episode. I'm not going to say anything because if it's what I'm thinking of,
I read a synopsis because I'm a huge fan of Akasaka, who is the writer for this. Also did Kaguya-sama Love Is War. So I mean,
you did tell me that, which I had to watch now. Mm-hmm. So the main girl, the one who's on the cover. This is Ai. She is the ultimate idol and the main character, like the main person in this. But the show doesn't actually star her. It's about her kids. So these are the two kids. Aqua's on the right. Cosplayed him. Don't have a picture of it. Sorry. Left is Ruby. That's his sister. They both got one of her eyes. As you notice, she has a star. Oh. And that's also Best Mom. But you'll have to watch the show to figure out why she's called that.
Mm-hmm. Like that's her actual name is Best Mom?
No, she's just the best mom.
Oh, okay.
I can explain a little bit later if you guys want to go into spoiler stuff. So, yeah, we got Ruby. She wants to be an idol like her mom. And Aqua just doesn't want to do that, but he wants to be an actor, not on purpose. So he's going to become an actor. And then we got to talk about some other stuff. Starting with the best girls. We got Kana Arima. She's the best friend / childhood love interest. She worked on a movie with Aqua, where they both had to pretend to be ghost kids. And for some reason, he was better at it, but that's another plot reason I can't explain. She was a child actor who ended up failing as an actor later on. And then she wants to get back into that lifestyle thanks to him. And he helps her by being a co-star to one of her, to her in a movie or a TV series. Sorry. He's in one episode and he makes all the actors around him just better by him antagonizing them. It's such a cool scene. Next, we have Akane.
Everybody has star
people
eyes.
Like her. I don't like her. Yeah, she the star eyes thing is her literally trying to become his mom.
Wow.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she has the ability she's an actress. She can turn herself into somebody with just hearing about their mannerisms and studying them.
The Sharingan.
Akane is cool. She has a really sad story that you follow for like three or four episodes.
I thought for a minute that what you meant by this is that she idolizes his mom and she wants to become like her. But what you mean is she literally wants to become
literally
his mom.
Transforms into his mom, like on a dime. She's like, okay, I am now I. And he's like, wow,
that's creepy.
It's uncanny. That's creepy. Yeah, people love her. My friend, just one loves her. Next, we have so if you don't like those two best girls, we can move on to the actual best girl in the show. We got, it's going to take a second. Hold on. It's got to move aside. We got Memcho. Memcho is Memcho is the best girl. She I have a figure of her somewhere, and she's a little older than the rest of the cast, but she shows up as like the best friend character for Aqua because there's no romantic interest between them. They're just friends. He eventually convinces her to join his acting agency, his whatever industry, and join the new idol group. She's older than everyone else, though, because the show says she's too old because she's it's gonna hurt, but she's 27.
Oh wow.
Okay.
So she's 27. She's too old. She's also a YouTuber streamer. She lied about her age on there. She said she's 19, I think, because her fans would think she's too old. She said she's actually 27.
We've all been there.
And then if you're wrong, which people are wrong, especially online, you might think that Ruby, the sister, is the best girl. So Ruby's cool.
You're wrong.
For plot reasons, she might have an interest in her brother.
Why are you gonna tell me that?
I know the plot reasons, Gamma. It's so much weirder than you think.
It's like they jumped through six hoops to get to this one idea, and I hate it. But I'm hoping if it doesn't go that way, right? If they don't follow through that line of thinking, great show.
Because I've seen Lost Paws and they shown some memes, and I'm like, No.
You gotta trust me. It is a lot weirder than that. And like when you watch the show and you figure out why it. You're like, oh, that's actually kind of intriguing as hell. Like, not in a weird way, but like, yeah.
It's very much a drama mixed with some like dark moments of just dealing with the industry and then loss. And oh, wait, by the way, I get to the next slide, actually. So, so we got dark themes in the show, since Bard loves those. The dark side of the entertainment industry and how they use people. Yeah. Dealing with loss, burnout. Finding yourself, especially after you already were someone in the industry, but then you lost that and you're trying to re-find what you were.
Burnout's real, too.
Mm-hmm.
Internet hate and bullying is a whole two episodes of plot, and it's insane what it does and how realistic it is. And also, it's Twitter, by the way, so they knew which one to use.
They knew.
And then, they have the demonetization word. It doesn't happen, but it's mentioned several times.
Oh, no.
And finally, any questions?
So I have questions, but the thing is, I know about the plot and I don't want to ask any leading questions because then that might give away some stuff. So I'll say this, having come over to this title from Kaguya-sama, like I know that Aka Akasaka has a huge talent for dramatic storytelling. He's really good at like, you know, just really building that drama and then just letting it release organically. With that being said, he is also really talented at comedy, which I have never heard anything comedic about this show. Is there comedy in it?
Yes, there's quite a bit of comedy in it, but it's mixed between the serious moments.
Okay, so yeah, it's Kaguya-sama, but about different things. I gotcha.
Yeah, it's really good. The scene at the bottom left actually is very important. I guess I can explain why. So the different glow sticks you have represents one of the three girls on stage. Mm-hmm. And based on which one you're a fan of, that's the glow stick you'll bring, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the lead singer of the group is the girl who's trying to refind herself. It's the first one I talked about. And there's not a single glow stick in the crowd for her because people started rumors about why she stopped being an actor. And so they're like wary of like her and this and that. And so he shows up with the white glow stick and just throws it up in the air and starts dancing. And then he pulls out the other two because obviously his sister's up there still. You know, got to represent his sister and his friend. So like this is like what inspired her to go through with the set and play better than she ever would have.
So another question. So it's about a lot of things that, you know, we're familiar with as content creators. How much of yourself did you see in this?
A lot in the blue-haired girl who I didn't actually like that much. I saw a lot of myself in what she's goes through and what she deals with and how she deals with it.
Okay. No more questions for me.
The only thing is I've never looked up myself online, so. Mm. Sure, she does that a lot. No, I've never wanted to.
Your friends have, probably.
I'm sure they have.
I look you up online all the time. I go to YouTube. I was like, hey, did Sacred put out something new?
Oh, well, thank you. But, you know, what's the word for it? Where you look yourself up online? There's a... Ego, is it ego searching or ego scrolling?
Normal
or
is the word.
Normal is not normal. The word.
Normal. Yeah, okay.
Normalize making sure that your the stuff that you saw on the internet about yourself is good.
Yeah. Otherwise, you gotta like hard correct with a PR campaign.
Exactly.
Yeah. Any other questions for Sacral guys? I guess the question, like on a scale of 1 to 10, how hard would you recommend this?
Oh, a 10 for sure. If,
oh, okay.
This one's been on my list
for a while.
If you get to
the first episode, though, oh, you should watch it whenever you get the chance. Second season just started.
In case you guys were wondering, I also give a 10 to Golden Boy. That being said, Helix, did you want to present on the actual one that you wanted to present on?
Yeah, I was going to do one, but I'm pretty sure we've all already watched it, which is One Punch Man. So I'm going to change it to another one that I actually highly recommend.
Sure.
And this is one that I've actually read a lot of the light novel on as well. I haven't read all the way through it. And I think, honestly, they've just did season 3, which covers quite a lot more. But Irregular at Magic High School. I've probably seen season 1 and season 2 at least 10 times.
Would you want to tell us about the plot and all that?
If you're in Japan a year, I want to say it's like 100 years in the future, like 2100 around there. I might be a little bit further into the future than that. But basically, there's your mages and your non-mages. And obviously, there's a whole hierarchy that comes up whenever there's people with power like that. And in Japan, there was the Ten Masters clans, which basically were 10 families that rule over all of the magicians. And then there's the 100 number clans below them that are like their right and left hands, that whenever one of the 10 master clans comes out or weakens enough, one of the numbers takes their place. The main characters, Tatsuya is the main character that the story follows, with his sister Miyuki. They're both from one of the 10 masters clans, but something happened whenever they were kids that basically ostracized them from the main family. And Tatsuya, whenever he was born, ended up having a procedure, magic procedure done to his head, to his brain, that cut off all emotions. The only emotion that he had was tied to his sister. So the only person that can make him feel anything other than nothing is his sister. So he's been tasked to protect his sister, because his sister is one of the strongest magicians born from that line of family. But Tatsuya has his own magical powers, which is technically one of the reasons why they did that to him. He has a power that lets him basically feel all information in his little area, including himself. He can regrow with a click of a button on magic wand. Basically, he can reset his entire body 24 hours in the past. So if he were to lose a leg, he can read all of the backed up information that his mind stores and reset his body, reset machines, reset another person 24 hours in the past. Granted, all of that time that he's having to read that information, he feels it in a microburst of intensity. So if somebody lost a leg, he feels that in an instant, 15,000 times whatever they felt.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah, he's trained himself to be able to do that kind of magic because it's one of his strongest abilities. Not only can he fight with the best of them, but he's actively always protecting his sister because his sister is so important to the line. But honestly, she's the chain to him.
Gotcha.
She is what keeps him in control, because she is the only one that can make him feel anything. That's why they did that procedure when he was a kid. Honestly, I'm ruining the story, but I love this story.
Okay, so really good story. So like, here's a couple of questions. When you said that like his sister is the only one that can make him feel something, are we talking about like Oshinoko like can only make him feel something, or
towards like the middle of the book, there's an underlining plot where, like, oh yeah, no, like she's straight up like she's down bad for him. Like Miyuki's down bad for Tatsuya, and there's no getting around that.
Okay.
Tatsuya protects his sister because that's how he sees her, but he has absolutely no feelings in that regard, because he just doesn't. Those emotions were completely severed from his being.
Mm, okay.
But like, there's like a halfway into the story, like a couple, like I want to say it's probably right around the times that it was. It's in the season that's going right now for season 3, where they, I'm not sure how true it was because I haven't read too much further, but they were changing it from where they were blood related to being cousins or second cousins. I think it's second cousins.
Okay.
And I'm not sure how true it is, but that's what they were saying, because they ended up getting engaged because of family reasons, that if they didn't, someone was going to end up trying to marry Miyuki. And Tatsuya won't stand for that because of how he views his sister. But again, there's plot reasons why he does all that as well.
Got it. So your 5 minutes are up on your actual presentation. A couple of questions off the top of my head. This is a complete fantasy world almost. Like, you said that it takes place in Japan, but it's like a fantasy version of Japan, or
it's 2090. So it's definitely far into the future.
Into the future. Okay.
Yeah. So like, it's not like now, it's definitely future. Obviously there's higher tech, like there's not flying cars or anything. There's still your normal cars. In fact, he's a genius when it comes to magic theory. He may not necessarily be able to always do the spells because of how his brain is tuned to two specific spells, which is the being able to completely rewrite the Eidos, which was the magic. Eidos is the word that they use for like magic plane. And he can completely read through the Eidos with just his magical sense.
Okay.
And he can even like, he can target a there's one part that's actually probably one of the biggest turning points in the series, whenever he directly targets a small water drop on a Chinese ship that just got done attacking Japan. Like he splits an atom on a water drop on a ship in the middle of the ocean that causes the ship to disappear because the atom released so much energy that it destroyed it. And then there's another time when he targets a flag that literally ends up being a bigger explosion than all of the nuclear weapons that we dropped on Japan. And it just full stopped a war because of how much power that everybody witnessed whenever that happened. In fact, they even called it, I think it was Scorched Halloween, because it happened on Halloween night.
And so is it like one of those anime with like the main character who is like super overpowered?
Yes, Tatsuya from the very beginning is the most overpowered character in the, well, not the most overpowered. There are people that can fight him toe-to-toe later on, but in the very beginning, like, they're just going to high school first years, and he is, there's weeds and blooms. Mm. If you're part of the secondary course, which Tatsuya is, you're considered a weed, which is just a secondary backup for the blooms. If you're a bloom, you're one of the main people that the high school is actively training. Like, and I mean like hard training. They're trying to get them to be the strongest magicians they can be. Well, the people that were weeds, they don't get anybody. They get the books. Nobody specific to help them learn how to be better magicians.
Okay.
So he is immediately outcasted from the school because of that. But they obviously get his friends. Miyuki is going to be Miyuki, even though she's the most talented person coming into the first year. I'm going to keep talking if you don't. I'm just going to mention that. The Irregular at Magic High School is probably my most favorite anime.
Okay.
And manga and light novel.
Any other questions for Helix, guys?
How many times have you seen the series?
I've seen it at least 10 times. There are times I'm just bored and I'll go rewatch the entire first and second season again because the second season is my favorite. The Yatsuba succession arc. Not that one. It's the Yokohama disturbance arc is the one that it is. It's season 2, and like, just the fighting is like so insane. Not to mention like, so there's like 3 big questions to magic that nobody's been able to unravel, and he unravels 2 of them in like the first 2 seasons, and it shocks the whole world because of how what he was able to do that nobody else could do. In fact, there are things that he actively does in high school that astonishes everybody else. There's kind of like a Olympic style competition that the high schools put together. There's 10 high schools, and he's in high school 1, and he ends up getting on the CAD team, which helps program all of the spells that the people use for the competitions. Mm-hmm. And it just blows everybody away because he's able to write codes and write spells in such a way that outclasses everybody in the competition, and everybody's always like freaking out about it. It's hilarious.
Okay, so I can tell that this is one that you are actually like 100% passionate about. It just like shows.
I'm telling you, I've read the light novel at least 3 times, and I've watched the anime who knows how many times. I have all of the episodes almost memorized at this point.
Hmm.
I just have a question for Japan. Why? Why do they constantly push brother-sister relationships?
I mean,
it ruins entire shows.
There's a reason why it's like that way in this one, at least. And I think it's honestly a pretty good reason. I don't want to...
You really have to like read it in order to understand, right? But like,
but the thing about Oshinoko is that they're not, there's no like, oh, these are the two. He obviously has a love interest.
Let me put it this way. Miyuki will hand grind coffee because she knows that's how Tatsuya likes it the most. She will go out of her way to make sure he is the most comfortable, even though he probably doesn't care.
That doesn't change the fact that they wrote specific rules to make it so the brother and sister could possibly get married one day.
At least in what I've seen of it, they don't ever do anything.
Aren't they engaged?
Well, for political reasons, you see, so that, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Every time that I hear of like the brother and sister relationships in Japanese anime, I always just immediately dart back to like Tenchi.
Yeah,
because that was a thing in Tenchi, but like I was like, oh well, the thing is in Planet Jirai this isn't unheard of, and I'm like, okay, I could see why culturally for y'all in this fantasy race, right? But like there's other times that I'm like, oh no, but yeah, that's just brother and sister stuff.
It's always like
he has other interests that are interested in him, but there are times they tried making moves on Tatsuya and he's just like, nah, I'm good.
Well, he can't feel anything, so that would make sense.
So,
yeah, I was going to watch the show years ago, but it literally turned it off when I found out there were siblings. I just could not. It's my least favorite trope in any anime ever.
Honestly, they play it up pretty funnily, too. There's one time whenever they're first meeting the student council at the school, and they're all like looking at them like, wait, do y'all actually feel that way? And then they just start playing it up even more, and everyone's looking at them like, what? And then Tatsuya deadpans is like, what? You think I'm actually going to do that? Like, we're siblings. And then everyone is just like, what? Huh?
My dude is on his way to do that.
Like, recently, we've been watching Mashal at my place, right? And Mashal has a joke about that, too, where there is a guy who's like, who's telling this backstory, right? And it sounds like, the way that he's phrasing it, it sounds like his sister died. Mm-hmm. That his sister that he loved so dearly. But no, she got better. And he's like, so wait, why are you so depressed? He's like, because I can't be at her side. And he's all like, dude, are you a lolicon? And he's all like, no, I'm a sister con. And he's like, that's not better. I was like, finally!
Yeah. Reminds me of that show, whenever there's that doctor that's like, oh yeah, he's going to be all right. Like, oh, thank gosh. He's like, yeah, he's going to have to learn how to write with his right hand because he was left-handed and his left hand is gone. Yeah. He's going to be all right now.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's Family Guy was that. that was the joke. So, based on all of our presentations, who sold theirs better? Let's put it down to a vote. We're going to start with Helix. Who votes for the irregular at Magic High School?
I'm fine with it.
The thing is, I've seen it, though.
Oh, okay, so you have seen it. Okay.
I chose not to watch it for obvious reasons. I've been apparent today.
It's been on my watch list, and hearing Helix talk about it did kind of sell me on it. So like, I'm like, okay, I it's been on my watch list forever. I'm going to watch it now. So with that said, Helix, you got my vote. You can't vote for yourself. Uh-huh. Gamma already seen it, so we're going to count that as a vote. We're going to say Sacro has already seen it also, but he's quit, so we're not going to count that as a vote.
That's fair.
So you got 2 votes, Helix. Next up, Gamma.
You're asking me or you're asking everybody else?
I'm asking everybody. Who's voting for Gamma?
I'll probably go read the first 10 chapters and see how I like it.
Okay. I want to hear your opinion once you read them, though.
Oh, wait.
That is a vote for Gamma. I'm a very big maybe. I'm not all the way there yet, but like it's intrigued me. So we're going to say, Gamma, you got a vote. Helix, two votes. Sacro, which one of you guys is going to go watch Oshinoko?
It's been on my watch list for a while, so I'll probably end up going and watching it anyway.
I'll watch it.
It's been it's on my list.
Yeah, I kind of cheated, right? Actually.
That's,
I picked one that I knew everyone wanted to watch.
That's three votes, because, yeah, like I was going to go watch it anyway, so yeah. And lastly, which one of you guys is going to go watch Golden Boy? So could I confidently say that's three votes?
Yeah, it's three votes.
Yeah. Okay, so that means that me and Sacro like knocked it out of the park. Way to go, Sacro.
Yay.
Yay.
So enthusiastic.
Season 2 just started. Yeah, let's go.
Yeah. Well, once the
podcast... If there's incest, I'm throwing it away, though.
No.
I just can't. If Oshino Code goes down the route that people are memeing about,
oh,
I'm done.
No, I mean, understandable. Understandable. Thank you for everyone who tuned in to watch today's recommendations. Tell us, which one would you recommend, and which one of our presentations would you vote for? Do you think that Oshinoko is going to go down that path, or do you think that they really should not? Hit us with all your answers at our new X page at the Battle Phase on X. And until next time, I have been the Midnight Bard. These have been the boys.
Peace. Later.
Adios.